Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host Han Tran. Han, how are you this evening?
I am doing super, Jim, just super. Han, how are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Doing good. We've got a real interesting show for tonight. Obviously, folks that have got the email, you understand we have our special guest. Tonight, we have with us Mr. Steve Best. He's a representative of the Investor Development Group that we are teaming with to launch a new program. Really exciting program. I want to call it a game changer in the sense that Han and I have dealt with so many of you, the dentists out there, that for one reason or another, just really can't make a new facility work. Maybe there's not an opportunity, there's not a building or an existing building that is in your region that you want to be in that's available. We've seen that. There's other opportunities, for example, that maybe that just the right space or the right location just doesn't exist. And then, of course, there's also the financial aspect of it, being that depending on where you're at in your particular career, you may be in a situation that, you know, hey, I can make a facility work. I can do the inside of a facility, but it's that shell, or that's the building itself, building a new facility, and so then you're kind of stuck with going into an existing building, which, you know, Han, you and I both made a lot of shows talking about dealing with existing facilities and some of the things you run into. But be as it may, Steve is joining us to talk about the program, which in a nutshell is designing a new building, a retail center, around you as an anchor. So welcome, Steve, and thank you for being part of the show. How are you,
Jim? I'm doing great. Thank you, Jim and Han. Thank you for having me. And it's a pleasure, and hopefully I can provide some insight to your listeners as to how we might be able to assist them as they're looking to venture into perhaps a brand new facility for themselves, or taking their existing facility and saying, look, we've outgrown it. We need something maybe a little bit larger and in a different area. And how can we make that work financially? So we can address a lot of those issues. And I'm sure you have a lot of questions, Jim and Han, that you've heard over the years working with your various dentists. And I certainly will try to shed some light. And as you know, Jim, we're working with a dentist right now because of non-disclosure agreements, privacy, those type of things. I can't give you a lot of important, really in-depth detail, but I can certainly give you an overview of what we're doing for this first client of yours. And we're pretty excited about it, and I think it's something that will work for any dentist that chooses to look at a program that not only helps them and benefits their future, but in addition, it gives them that long-term income and stability in addition to their practice. So,
yeah, absolutely. To give just a little bit of information, and you're right, we don't want to give out, we can't give out the name quite yet, but it's a dentist located up in Michigan, and it's really exciting. They are going to be the first of this program where they need to get out of their existing facility, their existing lease, and it's just not a good situation. And a new facility is going to be built for them. They're going to be the new anchor in that facility. And Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, it was the doctor that actually selected the location, wasn't it?
That's correct. Yes, that is correct.
That's pretty exciting. That's extremely exciting. So that may be one of the questions that the doctors are asked. Well, where can I be the one to select where it's at? And so the answer is absolutely yes.
Oh, it's totally driven by them. And, you know, it's important. They know their market. They know their location, where they need to be to help their business grow. And we're there to facilitate it. I'm not there to tell them, no, this isn't a good location. We might offer some suggestions, but really they know they're where they need to be to help themselves.
Right. And yeah. You know, it has to be a win-win-win. And I think that's what we're hearing. Han, you were going to say something?
Yeah, Doc. Guys, the doctor in particular we talk about is a doctor that's been in practice for a number of years. So she's a veteran in the field. Some of our potential clients are associates.
That's correct. And she's looking for a new facility because there's really nothing around that meets her requirement in the right location. And so it's one of those deals like I talked about in the intro. And we hear it all the time. You need a new facility, but you can't find a retail center that you can lease or you can buy a part of or move into. And there's no existing buildings that are any good. So you've got a bunch of vacant land. If you can find a piece of vacant land, sometimes you can't even find the right kind of piece of vacant land. So, Steve, as we were talking about this program, and obviously, you know, Han and I know a little bit about it, but our listeners don't know a lot about it. It's our understanding that there's a lot of options available to the doctor. The dentist can either lease the building or their portion of the building. There's a opportunity to be in partnership with the group, or they can. Is there also a lease to own option? Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
You could. I mean, there's plenty of options and plenty of ways in which to work it out. I just want to back up briefly so that you know a little bit about our group. Our group consists of an attorney, accountant, a couple doctors, a gentleman that owns about five different locations in the business that he's in, and we came together to become an investment conduit for individuals that, in this case, dentists, that would like to go ahead and perhaps get out of a lease situation, as the case in the dentist in Michigan, and have some type of ownership. And it was proposed to this dentist, in this case, an ownership in a strip center in which we're taking an existing building, adding some suites or units, if you will, to that building, and have a small 4 or 5 unit strip center. And the anchor, as you said, Jim, will be the dentist. And she is opting to own her space. She'll be responsible for paying, obviously, common area maintenance, as everyone would. Common area maintenance consists of snow shoveling, for instance. She'd also be responsible for paying her portion of the taxes. and then what happens is an owner, you're receiving the ownership benefits, depreciation, interest write-off of the other 4 units and long-term growth of the entire development, the entire strip center. So let's say that she, in her case, wants to operate her business for the next 10 years. Not only does she have a business to sell, but she also has an ownership interest in a strip center that has value. Now, getting back to your question, is there a possibility of a lease to own? Well, yes, that could be where she's leasing her space, in this case, from us, and then has an option to purchase that particular unit, that space, whatever the size is, down the road. Because perhaps maybe she has a build-out expense that she is opting to finance or new equipment, and she wants to pay that off over a 5-year period of time. And maybe at that point in time, she exercises her option to buy her space that she's currently in. So there's so many ways in which we can structure this to make it affordable for that dentist. And each one, obviously, everyone's unique to its own, and it would be one we'd sit down, we'd explore it, see what their financial capabilities are, and then design a program that works for them.
Mm-hmm. So obviously the other option is, it's for example, you know, we've run into dentists who just don't want to own anything. They want to just lease.
Mm-hmm.
So
correct.
Theoretically, you could have a long-term lease and have a building built around you and your space. And, you know, we're talking like a normal 10-year lease with a couple options and that kind of stuff. That's another avenue, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there are people that just are, you know, they don't feel comfortable, or they have other obligations, you know, starting a family, whatever the case may be, and they're just not in a position right now, or don't feel comfortable with the ownership aspect, and they rather lease, and that's perfectly fine.
Excellent, excellent. Juan, did you have a question for Steve? Okay.
The program, I think you kind of touched base on it a little bit earlier and talking about this dentist, you know, the existing client. If there are associate, Steve, and looking to, you know, looking for more guidance, more hand-holding, you know, in finding the locations and, you know, doing all the demographic and analysis and stuff like that, does the program include, you know, that type of guidance and services to help them to identify locations and things of that sort?
It does. In fact, that's my aspect out of the partners. I'm not just an attorney, but I'm also a real estate developer, real estate broker, have 35 years experience in real estate. So I work along with that particular client and consult with them and what's best for them. I know there's certain aspects that you guys have really stressed over the years working with you folks, and that is, you know, being close to school, being close to maybe grocery stores, elements that is going to impact their business. And that's all taken into consideration as well. And then, of course, you know, it always boils down to, and I hate this cliche, but I'm going to say it anyhow, the location, location, location. but it's
we've
so,
said it before, so yeah, we're guilty. We've done that too.
Yeah. But, you know, it's so true. It's so critical to not only the long-term investment of the project, but more importantly for them in running their business. So that is included, Han, and we work with them. And again, it's, we give them direction. It's not, look, you have to go here. It's directions and the pros and cons of each particular site they may look at. And I think that's what's important. Yeah.
And also, I'd like the listeners to know that, in full disclosure, we have had a working relationship with Steve for, was it 10 plus years now, Steve? Maybe more?
Yes, at least, yes.
And I know Han and I feel very, very comfortable recommending him and this organization to be someone that you might want to talk to. Only because, you know, we don't do this stuff lightly. We don't. You've never heard us make recommendations on anybody that we didn't feel comfortable in theoretically using ourselves. And that this is the same way. We won't just willy-nilly bring out a program like this unless we know and feel extremely comfortable with the people that are doing it. And because we don't want to waste your time. We don't want to put you at any particular risk. And just like anything, if it doesn't help you, it doesn't help us. And that's really what we're all about, is we want to make sure that this information gets to the right people, gets to you that maybe say, I need to do something, or I need to be in a position to look at this. Well, we've got the opportunities, and that's what we're so excited about in this scenario.
Hey, Jim and Han, you said something a few moments ago regarding an associate dentist.
Yep.
And that really intrigues me, because that's typically on a wouldn't you classify an associate dentist as someone relatively new to their practice?
Yes.
And actually, associates are usually it's not necessarily a newly graduated dentist. It could be a seasoned dentist who had sold their practice and gone part time and worked for another dentist's office. So
okay.
The term associate just simply means that they work for a practice that they don't own.
Right.
Okay.
But
the majority of associates, are the individuals who, have 3 to 5 years of experience, or maybe just come out of school and are working for an established organization, and that's there is a stepping stone. Matter of fact, we see a lot of times where associates are the next level. So let's say you have a practice that's been around for 15 years, and the main dentist decides that he or she, I want to retire. I don't want to continue. I'm done. I've done enough of this. I need to move on. And that's where you'll see a transition potentially from the seasoned 15-year dentist to the associate, where the associates would maybe singular or in combination buy the main dentist out and take over the practice. And sometimes that's done in a period of a couple years, or it's done, like immediately. But just as you were saying in your introduction, Steve, this program allows a dentist, for example, the dentist up in Michigan, to have has a piece of property, has ownership in that property. It really has a very attractive business model to any associate coming into the area, or maybe an associate that maybe is coming out of school and wants to work for 3 to 5 years in that practice and then take it over. So it's very attractive, because then as an owner, she has real estate, if you want to use that term.
Right. Right. And there is,
and Steve, the go ahead.
Go ahead, Don. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. The when I say the term associate, is that a lot of, a large percentage of our client and potential client who come to us are young dentists looking to start their practice for the very first time. And so they need, they need the study, the guidance and all that stuff. So they are the largest chunk of, of the clientele that I think a program like what we're talking about will benefit them, and give them option, and it could give them value that have not been discussed, going with other route where, they finance through standard regular financial institution and such.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at, is a lot of these younger dentists they don't have the financial wherewithal yet to really go out there and get the kind of terms that they have earned as maybe a seasoned dentist. In other words, what I mean by that is, they're going to a financial institution and maybe not getting the real good interest rates or the length of term, because there's so many different terms out there, whether it be 25-year, 30-year, on a building or, for that matter, on some of your equipment. And I know there's financiers of equipment out there. But what we try to do is become that, work with them, and shop the various rates. And we like to turn to, yes, there's national markets out there like GE Capital, for instance. But usually community banks, whether you're in a small market or mid-sized market or even a larger market, we're able to get some very good rates out there. And we're able to be the strength, if you will, for that dentist until that practice really, really grows and gets on its feet. So, as a younger dentist, they shouldn't be alarmed by that and shouldn't be intimidated by just another aspect of their business, that financial arm of their business. We come in and assist them on that.
And we've heard you know, Steve and I, you and I talked about this great length before, but we've heard of so many bank institutions, lending institutions that have said, do you have any dentists that would like to finance? We have money for them. The reason why is dentists are one of the most sought after client type for lending institutions because on average, and they've done all their research and their reports, dentists are a great credit risk. They don't go upside down very often. They do not get into bankruptcy very often. They are great. And so you can take advantage of that. And like you, Steve, you were saying, you can take advantage of the power of the group, the financial power of the group, along with the power of the dentist as a anchor, and also the financial aspect of the power of the dentist as a business type that banks want to be part of. So you, again, win, 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 and to be able to get the best rates, to be able to get the best kind of exposure, it's something, I'm serious. This is a game changer, guys. This is not, Han, I've not heard of this been done before. You hear about everything that goes on in the dental world, you know, like on Dental Town. Have you heard of this being done before by anybody?
No, I have not. You heard of, you know, I've read about dentists making, you know, investing into hotels, and, you know, they buy into franchise and stuff like that.
Right. Right.
But this is a totally different ball game. Okay.
Yeah, it is. Now, Steve, it's our understanding that there is no region that the group is not willing to go to, except, you know, obviously within the United States. That's correct, right?
Absolutely. It doesn't matter if it's the Northwest area or Texas or Florida or, you know, New Jersey. The same thing applies. You're looking at the dentist or the dental practice. You're looking at the area, location, all those specific concerns. Obviously, if you go to a market such as California, the prices are so much different, and you have to build a model, and the model has to work. And we work along with the dentist to make sure that model does work. We like the strip centers because I say we like the strip centers, the smaller strip centers, 4 to 5, not the larger ones. And the reason why is Amazon's taking that market and taking it over, and a lot of places, big boxes are going, you know, dark. They're growing empty. So you look at a good business model plus, you know, the 4 or 5 unit can fit into a relatively small envelope, a building envelope, a lot that is, maybe you can go in and tear down a building, and all of a sudden it's large enough to put up a small strip center, and you've got a dentist in there that becomes the anchor. And that's what you look for, and that's what we, as part of our guidance that Han alluded to early on, you work with the dentist, you share the business model with them, and say, all right, this is what we're looking for. Where do you want to be? Where does it make sense to grow your practice? And that's how we do it. So anywhere in the United States works.
Right. Now, there's just like a ton of things that you brought out when you made that little discussion. Basically, folks, this is a brand new building. There may be some remodeling work done, or there may have to be a tear down of an existing building, but effectively, you are getting a brand new facility. And, you know, Han, you and I have talked about all these issues with COVID and what to do within existing buildings. And some of the doctors have said, you know, we can't do that here. I'm stuck. I'm in a leased facility. I'm not even allowed to make adjustments to my HVAC equipment. I can't put UV lights in there and protect my staff and my space and the air within my facility. This may be the option that allows you to get out of that location and get into a new facility where you can have the necessary protection design systems in there to cover this UV stuff and it's built around you. So again, that's to me, that's an extremely exciting opportunity. It's not just any old thing that you're trying to make. You're not trying to put band-aids on something that doesn't really work, you know, the square peg in the round hole scenario. You're actually getting something designed specifically for you, around you. You're the anchor, and that gives you a lot of control and also allows you to have the best possible kind of facility. You get a new place. You get an opportunity to be in the right location. We picked the right location. Steve, when we talk about other tenants, obviously some of our dentists may have the question, do I get any decision-making ability on who's going to be the other tenants?
Yeah, great question. They do. They're the anchor, and they do have the ability to go ahead, and we call it shut down another tenant. We meet on that, and we're pretty specific ourselves. The last thing we want is a tenant that's going to upset the other, let's say, four tenants that are there. So
right.
we're looking at a good mix of tenants, but certainly nothing that would compete with the dentist. There wouldn't be two dental practices there. If at all, we try to get maybe some complementary ancillary businesses that might work well with that. But ordinarily, when you go into a strip center, you're looking for, you know, a dentist and then a good mix of other tenants. You might find a Verizon store that would go in there. Certainly that doesn't hurt anyone. But
a Starbucks.
You don't want Starbucks, which is huge.
You
that's one we look at.
Anything like a Starbucks or, for that matter, you know, a chiropractor, an ear clinic, an eye clinic, you know, an optometrist, you know, just those kind of things. Obviously, the great one would be is if there were support situations where, you have everything that would be cross-referred by the dentist. Would be something that you as a group would try to investigate.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the dentist, as in the case up in Michigan, said, look, this person might be interested in going in because they heard I'm moving. And it fits very well. So that's something to investigate. So, you know, always it helps. In her case, she's an owner of the strip center as well. And anytime we can find somebody that's, again, that suits and fits in well in the strip center, and it's fully leased, 100% lease. Everyone benefits from that. So, absolutely, they do have control, and that would be part of our agreement that they do have control.
No, you know, that is a great feature and a value for a lot of the a lot of the doctors that are looking in for facility. So often, a lot of the design that presented for critique and stuff like that, and they don't often volunteer all the pertinent information. But after a few questions, I can, you know, pretty much ascertain whether it's a lease space or they own it. And I think when you have part ownership in a development or a building, it gives you a voice. So that the design, the features, and things like that are more custom to give a facility that are more suitable for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, you see the trend in the last probably 15, 20 years that you find a lot of dental offices located in strip center. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Naturally because there's a lot of eyes. Okay, that's looking at, and so it becomes destination. But the challenge is that they get fit into or sandwiched in a slot where they have no windows. Okay, the only window that they have is the front door, and now that maybe 20 feet of storefront. And window is something very important in the dental community. So as a as an owner with an anchor. That thing there, you already have by the ideal location, within the strip, and I give you a lot of options and stuff like that.
Absolutely. I mean, they're usually on the end because of that, and you can create a lot of airiness by, you know, cutting in the window slots, and that's obviously where you guys come into play. That's your bailiwick, and you guys understand that. And I think it gives them the best location within the strip to get the kind of exposure that they want and what looks very nice in their operatories in terms of having window space and a lot of natural light. So that's what you guys do best in your design work. And you're right, Han, as an ownership, they're able to pick their location because it's the first one going in. So it's typically, in this case, with a dentist in Michigan, it's an end unit, and she'll have a lot of windows all the way around, which, again, just everything I just said really adds to her space.
Yeah, and actually, it opens up the other area. Han, you and I have seen it before. You almost never in a retail center have the ability to have windows on three sides of your space. If you're lucky, you get two sides of your space if you're on the corner. If you're stuck in the middle, you're screwed. You've got windows on your front and maybe a back door. In this scenario, since, as we understand it, the building is being built around the dentist as the anchor, there's three walls. There's the front, there's the side, and there's the back. Now, obviously, there'll be a common wall, which means you're going to be butting up against the next-door neighbor, the other tenants within the space. So you have three walls to be able to put doors, windows, fenestration, the whole nine yards. That's unheard of in a retail center. We've never seen that, have we, Han? I think one time in all the years we've done did we put a window or in the back wall, right?
Yeah, I think if you start with a piece of land and design, you know, the building and look and work with the site and all that stuff, you can do a lot of magic to the facility. So, you know, I don't want to say you know, opportunity are limitless, but there's a lot more opportunity to create and control the end result by design. And on your with intention, okay. So, yes, there's we can do a lot with the building, you know, work with the site and stuff like that. So, it brings more value to the, you know, to the end user.
Right. Now, Steve, you said an interesting thing in one of the comments earlier today, having to do with finding the right piece of property. And obviously, one of, you know, the questions that might be out there is, How do we go about finding the property? Or let's say there was a particular dentist we had. It was in a region down in an area around Cincinnati, and literally there was no available opportunities for them, either for decent vacant land or existing facilities. And you talked about there might be a situation where you, for the right location, You might end up buying, you know, maybe a couple houses or a couple things like that have to come down to be able to create that property necessary to do this center.
Right. That's correct. And that's going to be the case, I think, when you get into, I'll say hotter markets.
More metropolitan areas, yeah.
Absolutely. And in that case, you look for... And, you know, everyone has the capability of going on Google Earth. But typically what I'll do is that'll be my first step. But then I'll actually make a trip down, because what Google Earth doesn't provide is the opportunity to actually see how traffic patterns flow, see the area, take a look at some things where most developers would just drive right on by. They wouldn't be able to see what you can do, and that is maybe taking a couple houses down. Maybe it's close to commercial where, you know, if you took down that house and bought another one, all of a sudden the first one you took down was adjacent to commercial, and you have to go in and get site plan approval, and you have to get rezoning. But that's just part of the one of the maybe an extra step that you have
to
take.
Standard development stuff. Yeah.
So you're looking at things like that, and most people pass that up, but we certainly don't, because it's important to get the right location. And sometimes they just, you're right, they don't exist. There's not vacant pieces of ground out there any longer. So maybe you're going to have to take it down, take something down in order to build what you really want.
That is an excellent point,
guys. I know as an example, you and I were up for another client looking at a property up in Royal Oak, up in Michigan. And that's a pretty hot, we're going to call it metropolitan area. That's, you know, most of it is built up. And the right location, we identified a magnificent location, involved having to get an existing building that was underutilizing the property that it was sitting on, and would be a fantastic location for a dental office, along with several other retail center stuff. And you're saying basically is you're talking about being ultra creative and finding solutions when there's not just solutions standing there screaming at me, buy me, I want them developed.
Right. And you know that, let's talk a little bit about that, Jim, because that location, Royal Oak, is stone's throw from Detroit, but a beautiful area. And I say stone's throw, you're close to the expressway. So you're probably about 15 minutes from downtown Detroit, but it's a beautiful, smaller city. People are tearing down $400,000-$500,000 little tiny shotgun houses and putting up $1.25 million shotgun houses. So the land cost is very expensive. In that particular location that we were talking about, to make it work, it was not only the retail across the top, but it was a live where you work concept with loft apartments up above. And with a combination of both, not only, and they're very beautiful loft apartments, that would have made that project work extremely well and become very profitable for the entire group, including the dentist. So,
and that you just brought out another aspect that we haven't even got into, is that this thing is the program that we're talking about is not just stuck at, okay, it's going to be a single level, it's going to be a dentist with two or three or four retail establishments. It has the possibility to do just what you're talking about. It can be a mixed use kind of thing. In the right
very
location,
much.
Makes financial sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like a world.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to do that. Here's one of the things we haven't discussed yet, but it's sort of these type of concepts. I have a business partner who has just relocated out to Arizona, and he, for years in his family, invested in medical office buildings. Well, what you're finding in a medical office building, he's no longer doing that, is because of these hospital systems are growing so large, and they're buying doctors' practices and bringing them in, that they no longer are individual practices leasing out there, and therefore there's an abundance or a lot of vacancies in these office buildings, medical office buildings. And that's
right.
We tend to shy away from that because you get in the situation where it just doesn't work. The numbers don't work. And there's a lot of vacancies. And because of what the medical community is doing out there by bringing these doctors into buildings that are owned by the hospitals. So you got to be careful there too, because, and we see it here in our own community where you might have one or two, 5 years ago it was completely filled up. And now all of a sudden you have one or two tenants in there and the whole upstairs is completely vacant. And it's not going to be filled up. And it went from an A space to a C rating space, which is not somewhere where you want to be if you're trying to grow your practice. So, and that's something
that's
we talked about as well.
Yeah, that's very important. And see, that's an example to our listeners about the integrity and also the knowledge that this group has. Steve and his group know their stuff. And they're not going to get involved in a marginal kind of development just to be able to say, okay, we got this development. Because they're in it for the long term, and it needs to be profitable, and it needs to work for everybody, including the group of investors along with the doctor. And so that's why we feel very strongly that this is a great program and also a great system for the listeners out there that are thinking about something to do.
This is really about everyone. Just one last thing. Everyone building a legacy for their family, and that includes the doc as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're doing that with the practice, but, you know, why not, instead of paying off someone else's mortgage, why not pay off your own and at the same time build a legacy for your family and your retirement? So that's what's important. So
mm-hmm. I do have a question. Who's going to actually do the build? Now, obviously, you know, we talked about there's two portions of this build. There's the shell, the building itself, mm-hmm. with the parking lot and all that kind of good stuff. And then there's the inside build. There's the inside of the dental office themselves. Who's doing the actual build? How do you see that working?
Well, let's start with, first off, you're doing the design work and coming to us, and we're taking a look at that and saying, all right, start on the inside and working out. We're getting somebody that specializes or at least has a very strong history of building out dental facilities. And you'll find that in at least mid-sized cities and up. When you go into smaller areas, we're going to take a hard look at that because, you know, Jim, to meet specifications. So
right.
We're going to make sure that those people they have the expertise to do that. The last thing you want to do is get into a build situation and it's dragging on and it's a year and a half and it's still not completed. That doesn't bode well, and we don't allow that to happen. Now, as we work on the outside, I may be a general, but I'm looking for, again, expertise in shopping the market and pricing and getting a very good crew. And it might be that we have, a general that's overseeing it, and we have every single aspect of that. As you said, the underground work, the parking lots, those sorts of things, and then bringing in the crew that builds the shell itself. You know, when you get into strip centers, they're pretty easy to put up. You're just talking about getting that infrastructure in, getting the exterior buttoned up very quick and the roof on, and then you're bringing all your mechanical people in. But what's really critical is that inside, and somebody that's, I'll say an expert, if you will, or at least has expertise in making sure that all the specifications are done correctly for that dental practice. And the rest of the units, usually what they do is they're left as, I call them vanilla boxes. They're open. And an individual tenant that comes in, as you said earlier, Starbucks, they're going to bring their own crews typically in and finish off that space. We're giving them the shell.
Yeah, they got a crew that they use throughout the country. So
exactly.
What you're saying, Steve, is that the group could act as a construction manager and
yes.
properly manage the construction of these projects all over the country. Because we hear it all the time. You guys are in Ohio, or Han, you're down in Florida. My project's in Kansas. How is it going to get built, and how is it going to get built by somebody who knows what they're doing? Well, that solves the problem, because the expertise of the group in construction management is managing the actual people that are local to the project that are actually doing the construction of, and it may be a combination, like you say, of a contractor, subcontractors, necessary trade contractors to be able to get the work done, and then picking the right. And Han, what have we done, maybe 10 shows on picking the right contractor to build to build your facility? It's crucial. You've got to have a contractor that understands dental construction to be able to get it done right on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And Jim, depending on the size of the project, we may require them to bond certain aspects of the project. So mm-hmm. that, and if you're going to have to post a bond, you're going to have that financial wherewithal to go ahead. You're going to be a large enough crew to go in and undertake that project and get it done quickly.
Right.
Otherwise, they're not going to have a bonding company behind them.
And to our listeners, what that means is that the group is requiring the building entities, the folks that are actually doing the actual work, to have a financial stability necessary to be able to get something done. So you're not talking about the guys and girls that work out of the pickup truck, you know,
no.
And the name changes every other day because they change, you know, they go bankrupt one or they don't even have their name on the pickup truck. Haven't we?
Yes. Yeah, we've seen that happen.
You're dealing with a situation right now because of that, with one of our doctors that got involved in. Oh, my.
Well, I think a lot of times they want to be, they might have a client that has been coming to their practice for a number of years, and their family comes to the practice. And unfortunately, you know, they might be a contractor, but they're not a commercial contractor. And they don't have that expertise. And that's where they get into problems. And they say, oh, I can do it, because they don't want to turn it down. And then all of a sudden they realize, this is well above my head. I can't handle this. So you see that a lot, not just in dental offices, but you see that a lot just in general on building smaller commercial projects. And people just don't have the expertise. And these projects go under, or they take an extraordinary length of time to complete. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
It's important. Yeah. It's important to invest the right candidate for the right with the right skill to take care of the project, so they don't bog it down and overrun and schedules and costs and what have you. It'll become a nightmare that none of us really enjoy being around or being involved with.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Now, obviously, there's a ton more that can be talked about, and we like to keep our shows, to the hour. So we may do a follow-up call to this. Obviously, there's going to be more information that's coming out about the program. I think we have a flyer that is going to be emailed out to the people that are on our contacts. To the listeners, if you want more information, get a hold of our website. You can give us a call. You can email us. We will have more information. I think our website is being adjusted right now as I speak. There'll be a contact information page on there about this program, and we can start the process. And really all it means is a call, right, Steve? You just need a call.
That's correct.
And then we'll meet and talk over the phone. Everybody is into this Zoom and GoToMeeting stuff now because of COVID, right? And so we're able to do the exact same thing. So we can set up times necessary to virtually talk with you and see where you're at and, begin the process. See if this program works for you and what the advantages might be.
Great. Well, Jim and Han, thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to your listeners. And we're excited to be a part of this, and anything we can do to help, we're here.
Yeah.
So thank you again.
Glad you can join us, Steve. Good chatting.
We're really excited about the opportunity. Again, Steve and us have a long relationship for many, many years, so we feel extremely comfortable recommending him and his group and their knowledge, and that this will be a good thing. This will be a very good thing. So if there's anyone that's really interested that wants to talk about, just talk. It doesn't, just because you call us and talk to us about it doesn't mean you're committed to be able to move forward. It may not be the right thing for you, but it doesn't hurt to at least have that initial conversation to see what's available. Again, we're going to have more information being sent out. We'll look for that. We're extremely excited, and I know, Steve, I'm thankful for you to be able to take the time and actually for the group that is willing to put this together, because as I said during the show with Han, this doesn't exist. This is what's been missing in the dental development world. It really doesn't exist, and we have an opportunity to help a lot of dentists do something that they've been putting off. And I guess I can't quit talking about it. I mean, it's just, I'm so dang excited about the opportunity for everybody out there. I mean, crap, I wish I was a dentist wanting to do something. I'd be the first one to call.
Well, when you came to us, it's interesting because, as you know, Jim, we're involved in senior facilities. We're involved in single-family land development, some industrial space, a lot of commercial space. And when you brought this to our attention, you know, it's just one quick meeting and everyone said, yeah, we're on board. It makes sense. So we're here to help any way we can.
Thank you. Han, do you have any other comments you want to throw at Steve before we get sign off here?
No, I don't. But Steve, thanks again for taking the time and joining us on this episode, Steve. You take care.
Yep, you take care as well, Han. Goodbye, guys.
Thank you, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Yep.
Han, the one mm-hmm. little thing that I wanted to bring out in the last few minutes that we had is some interesting new trends, and this came from my sister, who is the basically the biochemist in L'Oreal, and there has been just a ton of new information that has come out about the spread of COVID, and it is now very, very, very highly likely that the majority of the spread is coming from airborne, not from surface to surface touch. I mean, obviously you still can get it, but the higher percentage is via airborne spread. That is the highest possible way. And in actuality, I'm an example of that. That's how I got COVID, was through an airborne situation. And I can guarantee you, I know exactly how it happened on a construction site. I inadvertently walked through a stream where someone had coughed, and find out later that the individual was positive. And I just heard from another individual that we work with that was in a videography booth, and a person who was positive for COVID came into the booth, and no one touched anything, but just by the spread of the air and the pathogen through the air molecules, all six people within yep. that booth were infected. But, I mean, that's what's that scream to us? We got to deal with the air.
Well, I thought that had already been the case, is that it is a, you know, airborne transmitted virus.
Right.
Right. Because you cough, you breathe, you talk, you know, you expel it out of your nose and your mouth. So I'm glad that they have come to that conclusion. Again, you know, it's still the talk of town. The good thing is that, there are now, they say that there are cure, and we also have the vaccine. How effective that vaccine is or is not is yet to be known. But you know, there is good news, right?
Yeah, there is good news. Obviously, there's the other strains that are coming from places like the UK and other places that they're making their way into the country, and we got to deal with that. But you know, speaking of voice of experience here, someone who's gone through it, and thank God I had a milder case of it along with my wife. Others that I know have had a much more drastic case and are dealing with some pretty major complications. And I mean, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth the risk when you can, you know, go back and listen to our other podcasts. There's so many things that you can do to deal with that aerosol, to deal with that airborne pathogen that are relatively inexpensive in the grand scheme of things. I mean, okay, yeah. What's it cost? What did we say? We were around $3,000 a unit to put in UV lights within your HVAC unit. Okay. What's it cost to shut your office down for one day?
That was
a lot more than $3,000, right, hon?
I mean, there is no such thing as closing your office for a day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we've had doctors that have shut their office down because two technicians and the doctor tested positive, so they had to shut the whole place down. What's that cost you? You know,
that cost
you a ton of money. Now, I'm not saying that just a UV light alone in the ductwork will stop the spread and guarantee that no one's going to catch it. But it sure will do a dang good job of cleansing the air of the airborne pathogens in there. There's other systems. There's things like the vacuum system that Dr. Crank has. And there's other things that can be done to help mitigate that and reduce the potential of the risk. They say this new strain that's coming through is so much more infectious than the first one. Let's hope the vaccine works. But not everybody's going to get vaccinated. Isn't that the big thing now?
Yeah.
I mean, they're worried about a lot of people won't take the vaccine because they're either scared of it, they can't because of other medical conditions, or, you know, they're unwilling to, they're going to wait and see. Well, during that whole time, it's still out there. And the vaccine is what? They say it's got to be a two-part vaccine, and you got to be 45 days before you actually have antibodies and some immunity after 45 days. Well, in 45 days, you can spread a lot of the virus.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of unusual approach to the vaccination. But we're not the expert. I think the bottom, you know, the overall approach is you want to reduce the viral load.
Yep.
Because the air that we breathe in general, we spend a lot of our waking hours indoor, and that air that you breathe are sure with multitude of other occupants. It can recirculate. So whatever you can do mechanically wise to clean and scrub the air and reduce the viral load, the better the environment, and it reduces the risk that you are exposed. So we're not advocating that you go out and buy a certain thing. We're advocating that you take a proactive approach.
Yeah, that's a good thing, hon. It doesn't work on just COVID. It takes out other airborne pathogens, including allergens and all that other. Anything biological that goes by that dang UV light is killed. Okay? It's done. And to me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, honestly...
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to stand on my soapbox until the day I'm not allowed to talk on the radio about it anymore. And I'm going to stand on my soapbox and say, why isn't there UV lights in every ductwork in every commercial building in this country?
I want to give a disclaimer, okay, for our listeners, that Jim don't own any stock in any company that manufactures UV light devices.
Right. I don't. I should, but I don't. If I was smart, I'd buy every UV company I could get my hands on. But right now,
or you can do that what that guy did with hand cleaner. All right,
yeah.
Hoard up the stuff and then mark it up.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I wouldn't do that, but that's right. Just not right. But you're right. I mean, I don't have any financial benefit in telling you this. I just know from experience. And being a survivor of this crap, it's not worth the risk. It really isn't. So I guess that's my soapbox for tonight. We're just really excited, and we're so thankful for you guys that are listening to us. We hope this has been helpful. We know that it's going to be a magnificent program for the dentists out there that want to take part of this and say this is perfect for them, because how could you not see the benefit of this being built around you, for you, in the perfect location? You basically can run the show. And there's a lot of cool financial aspects of it that we didn't even get into, that Steve has talked to me about, that we've talked to our dentist up in Michigan that we've been working with. So there's a lot more to come. We're going to have more information that's going to be sent out. Give us a call. Send us an email. Catch us on our website. We're ready here to help. And with that, again, thank you. And we look forward to our show next week. And Han, I'll let you have the next word.
You know, Jim, the discussions or this program that we talked about this evening, you know, that cliche, it's a win-win situation.
Yep.
I think it's your chance to create your own opportunity, and create your own the best value for your time and your investment. So with that said, Happy New Year to everyone. Appreciate you spending the hour with us. Until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.